building up a generation. Plant seeds for a new foundation. Take you from rags to riches. Right now, gonna build these bridges. Straight facts, cutting through the airwaves. No limit, making gold from your spare change. Cash flow rolling in like a riptide. Let's go, now's the time. You came for the remedy, leaving a legacy. Real money radio, a future you can hold.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we're Real Money Radio. We've been doing this, Tanya Esquivel and myself, for, I don't know, maybe 3 months, something like that, and kind of pulling together real estate and retirement and a little bit of everything in there. Tanya is out this week. I'm going to continue on our conversation. If you would like to hear what we talked about last week about reverse mortgages, if you have someone that's six or at or near retirement, this might be another good show because we've got a lot of feedback on it. You can go to realmoneyradio.info and we'll talk more about that. Where you can get a lot of the resources. That's the website for the radio show. Tanya is mortgage extravaganza, extraordinaire, whatever you want to call it. She's been doing the mortgage business for many, many, many years, an expert in that and the real estate side. And then I grew up, you know, with my dad in the rental properties, but I've been doing financial advisory for like 40 years, talking to people about their money. And one of the things that I see when I'm talking to people, especially when they're at or near retirement, is especially now in some of the markets and all over the country, you've got a lot of real estate equity, but they are somewhat cash poor. Matter of fact, some of the stats say that the typical retiree has about 70% of their net worth sitting in their house. And so we talked about reverse mortgages last week. Reverse mortgage market is really a financial planning tool. I use it that way more than I do anything else. And I'll give you some examples that you might think about. Your house may be your largest financial tool. And if you're sitting in a situation where you have a lot of equity in your house, but you are tight when it comes to you know, your monthly cash flow, this might be another show that we can get more detail into. But I wanted to cover a few things that people really just kind of ignore. And that is, number one, reverse mortgage is a retirement planning tool. There is a difference between an emotional attachment to a house and financial practicality. So let me give you an example of some of the things I run into. I see people that have million-dollar homes and they've got $300,000 saved, and their house is paid for. And, you know, for many, many years, people got, you know, really excited about paying their house off. I've always been not that excited about it because one of the things when you pay your home off, and I'm not saying don't pay your home off, but, you know, you automatically pay it off if you have a 15 or 30 year mortgage, if you just pay the payment. But what happens is when you're paying your house off, and I've seen this many times where people go and really pay extra and they do all this kind of stuff. If you have a low interest loan, you know, really I advise against that. But even if you have a loan currently today that's maybe 6% or something like that, paying extra on it does two things. Number one, the rate of return that you're getting on a prepayment on your mortgage is the rate of return, or is the rate of the interest. So if you've got a 5% mortgage or a 6% mortgage, you're getting a 5 or 6% return. But even more than that, you're taking money and you're tying it up. All right. And what I mean by tying it up, meaning you're putting it into equity, and then the only way to get it out is to borrow it back or to sell your home. And so is it something wrong with having your house, you know, paid for? Absolutely not. But is it the right move if you are making a decision between doing that and having money set aside for your retirement? So what we end up doing when I'm meeting with people and they get to retirement age, the first thing I do, if you were to set an appointment to meet with me for a review, what I would do is I would start out and I would ask you a simple question. The first one is, what's your goal right now? And you might tell me, well, I have some money over here or this or that, whatever, you know, type bill. But what a lot of people are saying is, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm near retirement and I want to be able to, get a better idea of where I'm at. And so we would then go in and I would ask some questions. The first question would be, hey, if you your house here, what do you think it's worth if you sold it today? And they come back and they say, well, it's worth $600,000. And then I would say, do you have a mortgage on it? And they're like, no, we have no mortgage. And so you that's good. Then we would go to the next thing. What about cash that you have saved? And they may come back and $20,000 in the bank or whatever that may be. That's kind of an emergency fund. Do you have any retirement plans? And you're like, yeah, I've got about $300,000 sitting in my 401k. Do you have any pensions coming? No. Have you looked to find out what your Social Security is going to be? And they say, well, it's going to be about $4,000 between the two of us. And then we any other investments? And they're like, no. And any other debts? No. So on the surface, you've got a house that's paid for. It's $600,000. They've got about $300,000 saved. They've got no other debt. They've got about $4,000 a month coming in that they'll have from Social Security. Keep in mind that most of the time, one's bigger than the other, Social Security-wise. And so what happens is if something happens to a married couple and you've got $4,000 a month, but it's broke down $2,700 and, you know, $1,300, then you're going to lose the smaller one. So if you're married getting $4,000 and one person's getting $2,700, the other's getting $1,300, when one passes, you're going to lose that $1,300 and get to keep the larger one. And so we start looking at all this kind of stuff, and well, I look at their age, and they're like 64 years old, and I'm like, okay, here we go. So let's plan out, you know, what we could do here. And so we start looking. I said, well, $300,000 realistically, if they put the money in, you know, if it's in the market and you're pulling 4% out, which gives you a safe income, then that's going to give you about $1,000 a month. Is that going to be enough with your Social Security? All right. They're like, well, I don't know. Well, what if we could get you rather than $1,000 a month? Maybe we were able to look at your home equity and do one of two things. We might go ahead and sell that house and downsize to a condo, cut some cost out. And when we do that and you buy a $400,000 condo, I might say, well, let's do a reverse mortgage. All right. So now, first off, if you go from 600 to 400, you free up $200,000. And then if you use a reverse mortgage, which means that you can put an amount down, let's just say for easy math, 50% down, you put 200 down and you don't have a payment. All right, now you had a $600,000 house that was paid for with no payment. Now you have a $400,000 house with no payment. But the difference is you have $400,000 in cash that you can do something with between not having to put the money into the house and also the fact that you downsized. Now our situation is no payment and $700,000 rather than no payment and $300,000. And then people ask me all the time, yeah, but I lose my house. No, you don't lose your house. What happens is your house has a mortgage on it. And realistically, if you looked at it the way I look at it, you know, the whole idea of a mortgage company will loan you a percentage of the value of your home against the equity that's there in a reverse mortgage. And it's a no-recourse loan. So what that means is that if you borrow that money and the interest accrues and it's worth more than the house, then here's what happened. You've already gotten most of your equity out to begin with. Well, the house, it's no recourse to your family who would be inheriting the house. But most of the time, the mortgage company, and they do this, these are government loans, they're setting it up to where the average appreciation over the, say, next 20 years of your lifetime is going to be enough to offset any of the mortgage increase to where there's still going to be some equity left at the end of the time. But what happened for you is rather than having $300,000 at retirement to try to live on, you now have $700,000 to live on. Well, listen, it is a big difference between $300,000 and $700,000. And so then that gives you ideas on the way I've believed for many, many years. The crazy part, I've been telling people about reverse mortgages back before anyone did it. I mean, I'm talking like 12, 14 years ago saying that. So some ideas that you might want to be thinking about. We had a lot of comments, you know, from last week where, you know, I had phone calls And they asked me about this, and they're like, you know, I never thought of it that way. So what I'm going to do is today I'm going to kind of integrate how we do financial advisory and more, and use your home equity as an example. I had a call this week from one of my clients that they had some unusual expenses hit them, and you know, they owe some different things that they need to do, and they're like, should we use the home equity line of credit that I'd already told them to set up to pay off about $40,000, all right, in high interest credit card and different things like that? I said, well, you know, yeah, I think it's a good idea, debt consolidation in that example. You've got a lot of equity in your home. Yes, I think that's a good idea. However, the first thing we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, why is it that we had the $40,000? That's the first question. All right, what caused it? You know, was it normal expenses? And what I mean by normal expenses like house maintenance that does happen every day. Is it car maintenance? Was it something that the insurance didn't cover because your insurance was not completely reviewed, all right, and you had a claim, whatever it may be? And so what we always want to do is look, is it just the fact that maybe you're spending more on a monthly basis than you should be spending because you didn't set aside maintenance money? You know, my dad always used to say this, that you know, he was always, he had these, he's got a book called The Book of You Cannots, and he had all these you cannots. But one of the things that you cannot only pay your expenses on your home while you're awake. They go all the time. Your maintenance happens daily that you have to do. You just don't pay it daily. And so when maintenance comes up and you get a big car, you know, you got to replace something, then what's going to happen is that it's going to all happen at once, but it's been happening every day that you drive your car. And so when you're doing that, we have to set aside money. And I'm going to talk about budgeting and things like that as we come back. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. You're listening to Real Money Radio. You can go to realmoneyradio.info for more information. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. If you're just tuning in, this is the Real Money Radio program with Tanya Escobel and myself. Tanya is a mortgage, what do we call it? I'm going to say expert. That would be the best way to describe Tanya. And I have been doing financial advisory now for 40 years. And we kind of pulled this together with the mindset of, you know, real estate is a big piece of the puzzle. And that could be, you may be sitting here now with rental properties. You may be sitting with, you know, just your home, and you're wanting to make some decisions on that kind of stuff. So we've kind of turned it into a little bit more real estate. Tanya has another hour that she does, and that is more real estate, where she brings on real estate people and does a lot of interviews. I have the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour, which is really geared toward personal finance and small business. And so all of this can be found. You can reach either one of us at realmoneyradio.info. Also, we have a podcast from our previous shows, and you can also reach out and get all of it. Both of us have podcasts on top of that. But if you're tuning in, last week, Tanya and I had a long conversation about reverse mortgages, and not just reverse mortgages, but even equity lines of credit and different things like that. And so one of the things that I've always said to my clients is that if you have equity in your home, you want to make sure and have access to the equity. And when I say that, banks are pretty funny. Mortgages, mortgage companies, everybody, lending is funny. If you need the money, you normally can't get it. If you don't need the money, they'll loan you all you want. All right, and then they'll loan you the money to a point where potentially you can't get it anymore. All right. So what I tell people is, if you've got, if your position right now financially is really good, meaning you've got a lot of equity in your house, you've got great income, great credit score, all that kind of stuff, you need to call, and you can call Tanya, and you can set that equity line of credit up. And so if you've got a $1 million house and you owe $300,000 on it, typically you can get 75 or 80% of the value if your income warrants it. What that means is that if you had a $1 million house, you could probably borrow up to $750,000 minus your mortgage. All right. So if you owe three and you could get $750,000 to $800,000, you've got a $350,000 line of credit. And that line of credit is a checkbook for the sake of it. And you say, well, I don't want a checkbook on my equity. Why wouldn't you want a checkbook on your equity? I think having access to being able to use my equity to do something, you know, what if I have an opportunity comes along and that opportunity is maybe a business opportunity and I'm like, this is the real deal. You know, I can make a lot of money on this and so I could use my line of credit. And so there's a lot of different things like that. Today we started out in the first segment, I started talking about what's called HECM, and that is a reverse mortgage. A home equity conversion mortgage. How about that? That's what a HECM is. And it's a government regulated type mortgage. But the long and short of it is they take your age. And if you're typically 63 or above, there's some now that you can get even less. Only at younger ages. The problem with the younger ages is the amount of equity that you're able to get out is less. So what they do is they take... They say, all right, what's your age, joint life expectancy? And if you're, you know, 70 years old, they may say your joint life expectancy is 90. And then what they'll do is they run a projection. And the way the projection works is it starts out, you know, what's the home worth now? What's it projecting to be worth in, say, 20 years? And then what they do is they say, well, if we loan this much money and you don't pay any interest on it, all right, in other words, it compounds, what's it going to be worth in 20 years? In other words, what's the debt going to be? And they're going to compare that to what the projected house will be worth. And they want to, and the goal is for the mortgage company is to not have you owe more than the house is worth, all right, at the end of the time. And what happens is 20 years from now, 25 years from now, both husband and wife, if you're married, have passed away. The kids will get 1 year from that day to do something with the house. Now, if the house is worth less than what the mortgage is owed, they can walk away and there's no recourse. So they don't have to worry about it going against the estate or anything like that. And I have people say, yeah, well, I lost all my equity. I said, no, you didn't lose all your equity. What happened is you were able to access your equity and use it for something else. And in most cases, people that I talk to that do reverse mortgages, they're a little bit short when it comes to their retirement. Let me give you an example. I do seminars all the time. In these seminars, I go in and I say, you know, there's three types of people that are sitting in the room. The first one is behind, all right? And there's a lot of you, you may be sitting here and you're behind, all right? You're retiring and you're wondering, what am I going to do? You know, and that's the one group. The second group is you're doing pretty good. You know, you're not killing it. But you've saved some money, you're in pretty good shape. And then there's a third group that is way beyond financially independent. They've gone in the wealthy stage. So what's the difference? Well, the one that's behind, I have to figure out a way to take what they've got and maximize their income. All right, that's what I got to do. Because, you know, you live on income and I got to maximize it. All right, the one in the middle, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a goal to have income, have a growing income, and at the same time, potentially have something left behind that they can hand off to their kids, all right, or whoever they're going to leave it to. So that would be the middle range. So we're not in the maximize income stage. We're in the middle range. And then the wealthier, we're going to look at ways to put money aside to pass it generationally down to the next, you know, generation. We're going to do it in the most tax-efficient ways. We're going to look at making sure and that, you know, and I believe this, everyone should have, you know, an estate plan. More than likely, you should have a living trust, which I may roam into that a little bit. But the idea behind a living trust is it takes probate out, which is nothing more than I don't know. I don't know if it's the government or the attorneys. Okay, but either way, if you want to find out, just don't have any kind of estate plan, and your family will get to find out how that works. I had a text message yesterday, you know, just about that. You know, a guy that's not a client of mine. He sent me a message, and we play golf, and he told me about all the problems with the estate, you know, where it had someone pass away. So anyway, so what we're going to do, I'm going to look at maybe three smart ways that you can use your equity if you've got a bunch of equity in your house, or if you're getting ready to purchase a home and when I say purchase, meaning purchase at the retirement age, we're talking reverse mortgages, and how you would do that. So a lot of people don't realize that a reverse mortgage can be purchase money. And so we'll talk through that. So strategy number one, using your equity, is eliminate the monthly payments. All right. So how do you eliminate the monthly payments? Well, if you have a payment, and I'm going to give you another example. Let's say that you're out there and you're retiring and you haven't done a great job, but you got some equity in your house, but you've got some car payments, maybe you got a credit card payment, you got different things like that, and you've got a mortgage that you don't owe that much on, but that mortgage, even though you don't owe a lot, maybe you owe $80,000 on your mortgage. But the problem is that payment's $1,400 a month. Your house is worth something, you know, worth $500 or $600, and you owe $80,000. So what are we going to do? Well, we could do a reverse mortgage, and we could eliminate the car payments, the credit card payments, and the mortgage payment, all right, which could represent $2,000 a month. And you do that reverse mortgage, and you still stay in your house, and you don't end up having a payment. Hey, $2,000 a month, we'll pay some bills, okay? Allow you to do some things that you're not able to do. And so one of the things that we talk about is eliminating the payment. And as we come back from the break, I'm gonna talk more about two more areas to create a retirement buffer and ways to use your home equity. But my name is Roy Matlock Jr. I do this show with Tanya Escobel. Tanya is, and myself, you can reach either one of us at realmoneyradio.info. If you'd like to schedule an appointment, reach out right there. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, and this is segment three. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we do the show together. Tanya Escobel is out on this segment, but I'm doing a follow-up to last week. If you want to hear last week's show, Tanya and I talked a lot about, you know, real estate and mortgages and how it goes into the financial plan. Go to realmoneyradio.info and schedule a call with either one of us if you want information on some of the stuff that we're talking about. But when we left at the break, we talked about, you know, some ways to use your home equity. The first one is eliminate the monthly mortgage payment. So if you're 63 and above and you've got a mortgage and you've got other debt and you've got equity in your home, consider a reverse mortgage. Now, am I trying to talk everyone into a reverse mortgage? No, I don't do that. Typically, I use reverse mortgages as a tool for people that might be a little bit behind, but they're heavy in equity, all right? So maybe your house is paid for, but you don't have enough money saved, and you're worried about the monthly expenses that are going to occur. Two ways you do it. One is you eliminate the monthly payment by doing a reverse mortgage, and you can refi out a reverse mortgage and pay the mortgage off that you have, and that allows you to eliminate that payment, and you can potentially add other debts to it. Or what you could do is you could downsize your house. And by downsizing and then taking that equity, but only put a portion of it down on the new property and use a reverse mortgage to eliminate the payment there. So that's what that is. The reason these came about is basically 1/3 of the population. I'm one of those born between 1946 and 1964. That's the baby boomers who are retiring, and they have tons of equity. You know, the difference in their baby boomers and the younger generation today, it's hard for someone young to go even buy a house because houses are expensive and, you know, to be able to qualify, you've got to have a pretty good size income and you got to save for a down payment. So it's very difficult for younger people to buy. But for the older market, they got another issue. They've got a bunch of equity, but in many cases, they don't have the cash set aside. And so it's kind of a way for older people to be able to access this vast equity that they have. Step number two, or strategy number two, if you eliminate your mortgage payment, you could use equity instead of selling investments, all right? And so one of the things that I did with one of my clients, and we did a couple things. I mean, I'm very, you know, I try to think through when I'm meeting with people. You know, I'm a fiduciary, and what a fiduciary means is you pay a fee. Generally, the fee is tied to the size of the account that you have. And so you pay a fee, but what you're really paying for is financial advice. And so I have always said this, that, you know, back in the early days when I was on the radio, Dave Ramsey and I started, you know, when I was 32 years old, and that was 65 today, so that's a long time ago. But at that time, I looked like I was 16, and they would be like, people would only, it'd only be the radio. No one had ever seen me, which is the way it is still. And I would have some clients come in, and they had listened to me on the radio, and as soon as they walked in, they're like, where's your dad? Okay, what's going on here? Or they were like, how could someone your age be putting out all that information? And well, the one good thing about the radio back then is I did live call-ins, and those live call-ins exposed me to not knowing what I was talking about. So if I ever got a question I didn't know the answer to, I was like crazy. You know, I'm gonna find the answer. I'm not gonna BS it. I'm gonna get all the answers. And so the radio, those questions that people would ask always motivated me to learn everything. And so now, do I know everything? No, I don't know everything. But if it comes to money, pretty well know some stuff. And so one of my clients was, long drawn out story, but had a tragedy in the family and received some money and was retired and had a mortgage, and the mortgage payment was gonna cause her to have to be pulling on investments. When you pull on those investments, it was going to create taxable income, meaning it was a lot of retirement and stuff. And then that taxable income was going to push her income into a category where then the Social Security would get taxed. All right. So now we would pay taxes on the investment, taxes on the Social Security. And it all had to do with the fact that it was a house that had a lot of equity in it, but it still had a mortgage on it. And so what did we do? We went in and we did a reverse mortgage. We eliminated the payment. By eliminating the payment, we were able to take, rather than drawing early on retirement plans, push it all the way out until the RMD came into play. So we eliminated taxes on the money that we were pulling out because it wasn't necessary. And then we also eliminated the amount of money that we would have had to pull out. So we reduced it, which in turn kept it under the Social Security taxation limits. And so literally for, I don't know, 12 or 14 years, living in a great neighborhood in Brentwood, paid no income tax, all right, and was able to live and do everything. Because what happened is we were able to reduce the outgo necessary because we eliminated the mortgage, all right? So that's just an idea that you might do. The next thing you might consider is downsizing. And if you downsize, it frees up equity. We take the equity, we do something with it, we turn it into income. So it's all these different things that allow you to plan for your retirement, but your housing is a big thing when it comes to that. And other things that, you know, that we don't, you know, typically look at is, you know, property tax increases, HOA increases, you know, insurance increases, you know, healthcare goes up. Home maintenance, you know, sometimes you have adult children you're dealing with, you know, and market volatility. And so as a result of that, what I try to do is take a whole picture. Now, is the home The one place, no, the home is just a place that you look at. You say, well, do I have all this? Is it something like that? So now, once we kind of got a picture that there are options out there, I also want to encourage you, if you have equity in your home and you're working right now, go ahead and apply for an equity line of credit. That is a big emergency fund. It's also a big opportunity fund. If you lose your job, you're not going to be able to get that line of credit. I was speaking with a guy that started a business, and he's got a great business, but the difference was he doesn't have the history in the business. The business is making money. He's got a lot of equity in the house. Had he got his line of credit before he started his business when he was working, he would have been able to get that line of credit and have access to it to help him grow his business and stuff like that. So always utilize, you know, money is it's just whatever you do with it. I mean, you can get up every day and you can, you know, look at it and say, well, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, spend it on this. You know, and then people get motivated. Amazon motivates people. All right. They're like, man, I can't wait to get up in the morning and do that. You know, I set up accounts for people where you can open them for $250 and put them into a growth fund. And you can pull your phone out. And as soon as you pull that phone out, if you have extra money that you didn't spend, all right, you didn't spend it, you say, I think I'm going to throw $50 in. And then you throw it in. And every time you do that, you look, your account's getting bigger. You're like, wow, you mean I can do that? Yeah, you can do that right on your phone, just like you can spend it. And so, and put it into stuff that grows. So what I'm always doing is just talking about, you know, good decisions. And if you make good decisions with your money, you'll get good outcomes. You know, actions have consequences. All right. That's what happens. If you take $100 a month and invest it for 20 years, there'll be an outcome there. If you don't invest it, there won't be an outcome. And so we're always thinking like that, but not with the idea that we're not going to be able to live or have fun or anything like that. The way you fix that is you become more valuable in the marketplace. And so my basic foundation of everything I've done on my philosophy on finance is step number one is you got to always increase your income. And how do you increase your income? The first thing is you increase your value proposition. So, you know, now with AI and everything that's going on right now, you better be aware of the business that you're in and the career that you're taking, because some of the careers that are out there are not going to be around anymore. I mean, I was at an investment conference, not investment, but a presentation. And there's two young guys. They started a company and they're in their 20s now. They're both billionaires, 25, 26 years old. And what they are, they're a staffing company for AI. All right. So they do AI staffing and they hire people to do the staffing. But it's not like what you think about staffing. What they do is they hire guys who program AI agents to staff companies. So it's not even, they're not staffing people. What they are, these are programmers that create AI agents that work for companies to answer the phone and do the admin and all this kind of stuff. And these guys have built they've become billionaires, and they're creating a staffing company. Think about that, a staffing company that creates AI agents to do the work of the people that used to be people there. That's what they do, all right? And so you better be paying attention. You know, is your business model or what you're doing, is it something that could be replaced, all right? I was down in this same company that does this venture stuff. I was down in Florida on the golf course, and the whole golf course was being cut with robots, grass was. And so this person that does this venture has put money into a robot repair company. How about that? So it's become a huge thing at the front end. So anyway, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. You're listening to Real Money Radio. Visit realmoneyradio.info, .info. You can reach myself and Tanya Escobel. We're talking real estate. We're talking money. We'll be right back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are in our final segment. If you're just tuning in today, this is Real Money Radio with myself and Tanya Escobel. You can reach either one of us by going to realmoneyradio.info. We both have individual radio shows outside of this. She focuses more on the real estate side and the mortgage side. And then I'm the Money and Business Hour, Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour, which is more personal finance. And so we kind of pull these things together in order to be a little bit broader on both sides for her and for me. And so realmoneyradio.info, we also have the podcast that you can go there, listen to previous shows today. I was kind of recapping the previous week when we talked about reverse mortgages and home equity and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm going to close that portion, and then I'm going to get into some personal finance on how you just kind of put all this together. If you have equity in your home, number one, you should consider right now while you're working getting an equity line of credit. What is an equity line of credit for? It's for emergencies, and it's for opportunities. That's what it's for. You always should apply for it when you don't need it. That means when your credit's great, your job is secure, and you're very bankable, all right? So we want to do that. Always look for opportunities when they're out there. You know, I always have listened to this Morgan & Morgan, John Morgan. I heard one of his quotes. He talked about if you want to have luck, you got to go looking, okay? If you want to be lucky, you got to look for luck. And I thought that was a great statement. And so I'm always looking for opportunities. But if you don't have the cash to do it, that's called opportunity cost. So if you don't have the opportunity to do something, then you lose it because you didn't have the money to do it. And so sometimes you can use your equity line of credit for that, or you can use it as an emergency. If you are a retiree, one thing that you should not rule out is a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgage allows you to eliminate your payment, thus a better cash flow, or it allows you to borrow money and cash out, which would also give you something you could do to invest to get an income. So when you're retiring, it's always about your income, all right? You got to get your income up and your expenses down. Eliminating a house payment usually does that. All right, so then what we do is we take all of this and just in general personal finance, you know, step number one, always improve your income. That is it. And when you always improve your income and listen, grinding away, improving your income is hard. You may have to change jobs. You may have to change careers. You may have to open a business. You have to change your business model. But what you do is you're always working on your value proposition. And what your value proposition is what people pay for. You know, in the case with what I do, people come to me because they believe, and it's true, that I can help them get from point A to point B, financially speaking, better than doing it themselves. If they thought they could do it on their own, they would. All right, why would you pay anyone a fee to help you get somewhere if you could do it on your own? I always relate it kind of to, I have a lady that I work with that she's moved me like 3 or 4 times. And she is it's unbelievable. She's a professional organizer, mover, and the whole thing. So I had a house one time, 4,000 square feet, and I moved to another one about across town. And I called her up, and then I left. We met. We had our moving day. I left. I went to Florida for a week. I came back a week later, went to my new house. The beds were made. The paintings were on the wall. Had 3 piles. One, she said, you might want to throw this away. I didn't throw it away, but there's another pile here that's for, you know, Goodwill. And you just got to decide, you know, what you're going to do. And then you may want to get rid of some of this stuff. And then I wrote her a check. All right. She hired the movers, hired the packers. She even went as far as for me because she knows I'm single. And she went to the store and got new sheets and, you know, forks and, you know, everything you'd imagine. And I just was like, all right, how much? All right. And I wrote her a check, and I think I've done that 3 times. And the reason I do that is because number one, I don't like doing, I would never, I mean, if I had to move the first time, you know, people are out here, if you listen, I'm first time I bought this house, and I was living in a temporary apartment, and somebody said, well, how's your house? I said, well, you know, I hadn't really moved in yet. And they're like, well, didn't you buy it like a month and a half ago? I'm like, yeah. I said, but I just hadn't really been able to, I don't have time to deal with this stuff. And so I'm living in on a one-bedroom apartment, and I've got a 4,800-square-foot home sitting empty. And they're like, are you crazy? And anyway, the football coach of my son, he said, look, I got a lady that'll fix this for you. And I hired a lady, a decorator, and she came over there, and next thing you know, my house was full, and that was it. I delegated stuff I didn't like doing and that I didn't know how to do. And so one of the things you got to always do is work on your own skill set. I believe that your skill set allows you to make money. The money you make allows you to hire other people to do things that you can't do or that you don't want to do or that you're just not equipped to do. And so on the financial end, that's what I do. I do financial stuff for people. When they come to me, I said, look, let's take a look at where you're at. Well, number one, do you have a budget? You don't. All right, well, we've got budget forms. It's sitting at roymatlockjr.com. You can go to realmoneyradio.info and download, go in there and click my name, and you're going to get to my website. We've got resources. Show you how to set a budget up. Do you have an emergency fund? No, don't have an emergency fund. Well, you're a disaster waiting to happen. We need to get that set up. How do we do that? Well, first off, we're going to get the budget in play, and we're going to get you 3 months set aside liquid, and that's going to allow you to do some things. We're going to get the proper insurance. What are we going to do? Well, because we have an emergency fund, we're going to raise the deductibles. We're going to shop our car and home and auto and stuff like that. We're going to make sure we have proper liability. We're going to have life insurance in place. If we die, we're going to have health insurance. That's, you know, we're going to do all that. The reason is we budgeted in. We have an emergency fund now. We're going to raise the deductibles, all that, because of three of the parts of your defense is a budget, an emergency fund, buying the proper insurance, and the last one is eliminating bad debt. What is bad debt? It's any kind of debt that's tied to a high interest rate that you can't afford, all right? It ties to something that goes down in value. So anytime you're borrowing money on things, if you're paying interest on something that goes down in value, that's going way in the wrong direction. And if you're borrowing money right now, I'm not positive right at this moment, but I think the average used car rate's about 13%. So now you're buying a used car, but at 13%, you know that you don't want to be doing that kind of stuff. So the idea is you pay cash. So what is the basis of the foundation of your finances? Budget, emergency fund, buy the right insurance so you don't go backwards, and eliminate bad debt. Only have good debt. Now we have what is the framework of the defense. The defense is to avoid mistakes and to reduce cost and to protect your income and your assets. We go on the offense after that. What is the offense? The offense is retirement plans, investments, opportunity funds, tax savings. We also throw offense in there when it comes to like passing to the next generation. So what are some of the offensive plans that I always talk about? The first one is pay yourself first. If you did nothing but this, and I tell people, if you do nothing but let us set you up on a monthly draft out of your checking account into a Roth IRA, $500 a month, $600 a month ballpark to get you and fund your Roth IRA, and you forget about it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be doing good. $500 a month, 20 years, is $500,000. You know, I mean, it's that kind of deal. So what happens is you have to plan. So what is the offense? The offense, pay yourself first, get a better rate of return, use professional money management, take advantage of the tax laws that we're given, set aside money for, you know, gifting and all that kind of stuff for your kids' college. And then eventually what you're going to end up doing is make sure your estate plan, if you hadn't already done it, you want to have that going. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. This is the Real Money Radio with Tanya Esquivel. Tune in to us each week, and go to realmoneyradio.info if you need information on how to reach either one of us. Thanks for listening.